You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right, on the World Wide Web, 1510wwbc.com. You can get us on any one of your streaming devices by hitting that Listen Live button. And then, of course, right there, also on demand, you can get all of our shows. You can download all of them from that archive spot. We share all of that information on all of our social media, as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com. And then, of course, all the pictures and all the great conversations I try and sum up to make sure that we have a great memory of all of our guests that we've had. And what a great year it's been. I know it's not the end of the year yet, Sita, but what a great year we've had with fantastic guests and all of our great sponsors who have kept the show, you know, on for us, with us, and able to just share all of this great community and national knowledge that we have through all of the friends that you meet.
Well, you know what? I have to say that we couldn't have done the show without the support of the sponsors, the great guests, and our station here, right?
That's right.
And I just want to tell our guests, our listeners who are tuning in for the first time, my name, as I just said, is Sita Begee, and on Mondays, my co-hosts Ellen O'Neill and myself and Ali Tambor and Danny, who runs our board, we sit here and we talk about things and topics that are going around right here in Brevard County, Florida. We talk about things that are going on around the nation, and we speak about things that people are advocating for. A lot of people are advocating for clean air, water, sunshine. They advocate for the elderly. And I have to say, you know, it's no different. I found a wonderful guy. He's a physician, Dr. Hamad Sharif, and he is what you call an energy doc. He does coaching, concierge medicine. He talked about diet, exercise, and a lot of cultural intervention for people who happen to immigrate to the United States or live in other countries and just need a person who can actually understand their culture, themselves, and where they're coming from. And so if his practice allows, he will call in this morning. If not, we will be speaking the second segment with a guest that all of us know who she is. Natalie Pace will be calling in to speak about the earth, why we should have what's called earth gratitude. And she will talk to us a little bit about some gifts for Christmas that are earth friendly.
Yes.
Right? And in the meantime, if you notice on my Facebook, I put up this morning that one of the most important things in life is time. And time is the most valuable thing that you have. And once it's gone, you never get it back. And so we were talking about one of my friends whose mother is on hospice, and I would have to check later and see what's going on with that. And Ali, you made a nice comment about when your husband was passing away from the earth. And if you guys want, we could talk a little bit about time and what time means to you. Because once it's gone, you can't change it.
No, there's no other decisions to make at that point. You did it. So, you made the decision. Douglas always warned me that he had the family curse, which was the family men who apparently didn't tend to live too long. So he did have heart troubles all the way through our relationship, but he held on there really good. And that's where a team helps and comes in, Andy,
and
to
you,
have them
Ellen,
like that.
Ellen, you want to give me a 30-second, what do you think time is before we go to our guest?
Well, as you know, I'm in a band, and we play every single weekend. And when the time that we have together with all of our friends and the folks that come out to see us, we try and make memories. And when I tell people about time, or when we talk about time, I have chosen that every time that I'm with someone, or every time I have an opportunity to make a memory with someone, that I'm going to do that. And whether it be with pictures or however we memorialize the time that we have together, it's still that important to me to make sure that every time that we have together is memorable.
Well, you know what? I am grateful for the time that I spend on Instagram.
Yes.
And TikTok, because I meet a lot of wonderful people. And one of the people that I met, one of the humans that I met on God's magnificent planet, and what I like to call my earthly journey called life, is a physician called Dr. Sharif. And he calls himself the Energy Doc. And I tell you, Ellen, when you look at his Instagram, I mean, I shouldn't really bring it up here on the show because it'll make a lot of noise, but he speaks right to my heart, and he's brutally honest about diet and exercise and making your life simple, but he also has this connection with people no matter where they come from. And of course, me being brown, and some of the things he says about childhood, growing up, it doesn't matter how professional you are or who you become in life, some of us carry the weight of how we were raised. And I just love his videos, and I think he's on the phone, and we're going to welcome him to our show. So Dr. Sharif, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you, Sita. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for this opportunity. And kudos to you. You've been doing this for some time. 15 years, is that right?
We have been on air with the help of God for 15 years. And every time we try to leave and find something else to do on our Mondays, Danny here, who runs the board, and Kim, who owns our station, they won't let us go.
Yeah.
They would tie us up with chains and bring us here if they had to. And so at this point in life, I've just resigned myself to the fact that I'm just going to be here for a little more, with as long as Ellen is able to be the co-host and take care of the website and all that, and Allie. And, you know, God is wonderful in all his glory, that when you do good, good things follow you. And you are one of the good things that happened while I was fooling around on Instagram and TikTok. So tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it, and about why you call yourself the Energy Doc, because you do have a lot of energy.
Of course. Well, thank you again for the opportunity. And, you know, I'm kind of just looking up to you, because you're really using your voice to move the needle on so many issues that matter, you know, with education and even domestic violence awareness and global poverty and so many other things. And with me, so I'm actually an internal medicine physician and hospitalist. So I work in two different settings. In the hospital, I manage more acute conditions like heart attacks, strokes, and other critical care situations. And outside of the hospital, I run the Energy Doc. And that's more so trying to raise as much awareness and help out as many people as possible, specifically focusing on the South Asian community, Middle Eastern, and a lot of immigrant backgrounds, and just trying to help them heal from cultural and generational trauma through mainly nervous system coaching. But I like to use a holistic approach where I like to use diet, exercise, somatic therapy. And I found that to be very helpful. And, you know, I'm just so glad that I was able to find my passion, because I love doing what I do. And it's amazing to help so many people.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that you talk about in your videos, and I was watching one at the gym, you were talking about the middle child. And it is so true, because in South Asian communities, in the Asian communities, even in Trinidad and Tobago, where I am from, the middle child syndrome is a true thing. And when kids are little, people don't talk about it, but that child often is unseen and unheard. So I wanted you to expand a little bit on that, because many of these middle children grow up to be pilots, doctors, lawyers, business owners, artists, but they carry that feeling with them, that cultural issue that they had as children. And a lot of them, they have to speak to someone. And so I'm grateful that you are the person that they can speak to, not just for medical advice, but emotional mm-hmm. and social support as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you know, also being the middle child myself, I noticed that a lot of us, we grow up kind of feeling invisible. You know, the firstborn generally gets all the responsibility, and the baby of the family will get a lot of the attention. So as a middle child, you kind of learn early on that your needs, your wants kind of come last. So you start to adapt, and that's when you become the peacemaker. You know, you get skilled at reading the room. You want to make everyone happy. You want to avoid conflict. You know, sometimes you see that the eldest child has more conflict with the parents. You know, they'll stand up more. And because of that, you learn to just kind of hide your needs. And so they often lose touch with what they actually want. And, you know, a lot of my middle child clients, they struggle with feeling like they don't matter. And it's really sad, because I personally believe that all human beings matter. We all deserve respect, safety, kindness. So with middle children, and, you know, whether it's at work, even relationships, or even in their own families, they're just kind of overlooked, and they're used to it. So they stop advocating for themselves. So it's a lot of people pleasing and over flexibility, just bending so much for others that they kind of forget that they're also allowed to take up space and have a voice.
Yeah.
So my goal is to help them reconnect with their own needs and, you know, set boundaries, not feeling guilty with setting boundaries, and just feel seen.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, too, a lot of these adults carry that into their marriages, and then they pass it on to their children. So it's good that you're able to break that cycle. But what I noticed too, Dr. Sharif, is that a lot of the Asian community, what I call my brown sisters and brothers, we carry layers and layers of hurt. And I like that you are very attentive. And when you listen to people, you're able to help them to get those layers off one by one. Because I think what you're doing is life-changing. You're showing people that you care not just about the medical part of their life, but you care about what's going on under those layers as well.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. You know, what happens in childhood doesn't just stay in childhood. So with middle children, they carry that feeling of being unseen into their relationships, into their marriages, into their parenting. And, you know, it kind of just becomes water that they swim in. You know, they're just constantly in there. And unfortunately, what I've also noticed in the patterns of the middle child is that they'll attract partners who will overlook them. And so they overgive, and they compensate, and they just have this belief that if they do enough, they'll finally feel valued. But, you know, it never really works that way, because the wound is deeper than just the surface level. It's deeper than just a relationship. It really does trace back to years before that.
Yeah.
And then they unknowingly will pass it on to their children.
And I read somewhere where you had talked about that healing from inside out, it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of time. And it looks as though once someone calls you and they're able to create that bond with you, you do tell them about patience. Because a lot of times we live in a country and a culture and a world where people want instant gratification. But what you're telling your clients, your patients, is that it takes time. You have to be patient, correct?
Exactly. You know, the healing does happen from the inside out. You know, you can tell someone to go to the gym, do certain exercises, and that's very surface level. There's a lot of things that go into that. You know, especially with the men that I work with, it's like we're taught early on to fix things fast, right? Get in, solve the problem, move on. But healing doesn't work like that. You can't really just outwork it or outsmart a wound that took 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years to build. So, you know, sometimes when men come to me, they want a quick solution, you know, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I get that. But I do have to tell them up front that it's not a sprint, it's a process. And true healing will take some time, and that's how it lasts, and that's how you change your patterns. And I'm just so grateful because in the last maybe 3 or 4 months, I've had more clients that are, you know, more experienced. So they're in their 50s, 60s, and they're at that point where they realize that it's not going to be a quick solution. So they do the work. They will practice a lot of exercises with their spouses, with their children. And it feels amazing to know that there are men out there that want to be better to their children, to their spouses, to their grandchildren. And they've learned that, you know, patient isn't passive. It's really powerful. And it takes strength to sit with discomfort than to just react, numb it out, or even explode. So right. That's the real work.
And you know, I've been to those parties, right, where you have a lot of food and people are dressed in their most beautiful garments, and it's Eid or it's Diwali or it's Christmas, and the men go in their section and the women go in their section. And then they've got the children running around. But especially immigrants, when they come to the United States, you give up so much emotional connection. Just your streets, the house you were raised in, your friends, your family. And sometimes I tell people that the financial gain that we see in the brown community, it does not make up for the emotional pain and loss that a lot of these people have. I feel like you should have a brown professional as yourself, Dr. Sharif, at the immigration areas where people come to get their green cards and their citizenship, so that people could, the next step should be your office, because cultural pressure creates chronic stress and so much hormone imbalances in people, and people wonder why they can't function.
Oh, exactly. You know, that's kind of what I realized when I was going through my residency training throughout medical school. We see a lot of, let's say, men come into the ER, and then they get admitted into the hospital because unfortunately they've had a heart attack, they've had a stroke. And a lot of that we're realizing now comes from inflammation. And you know what causes chronic inflammation? It's actually chronic stress. So that anger you feel, or the feelings that you don't express, or the needs that you don't express, they're gonna go somewhere, and that just stays inside you. It's just festering up, and then you're finding yourself exploding, having reactions that aren't really appropriate, for lack of a better word. They're a little bit heightened, and so, you know, all of that is going to cause harm to your body, and then we see heart attack, stroke, thyroid issues, even cancer. And, you know, in the past, our parents, grandparents, they did sacrifice that emotional connection, emotional awareness, because they were trying to survive. But I think now, if we can take the time to really work on those issues, you can have a healthier life, and you can have a healthier child, you know, grandchild. And that's kind of the goal here.
I just appreciate so much what you did, because we've had so many friends in their early 40s and 50s who did have heart attacks, who did have issues relating to their well-being. And finally, one physician said that, you know, for a person who didn't have any family history of heart attacks or didn't have any issues that he saw in their labs, that it was the emotional trauma of immigrating from one country to another, learning English, high expectations, family dynamics, and it does create havoc on your nervous system and your health.
Exactly. You're kind of in this emotional response where you're just in fight or flight mode, and your nervous system just always in fight or flight mode. It doesn't really get to rest or digest. So when your nervous system is stuck in that fight or flight mode for years, it's your body paying the price. And you can see it. You see elevated cortisol. You see inflammatory markers rising, high blood pressure. You know, they're not just disease symptoms. They're also disease precursors. So I've also seen that patients with perfect cholesterol, they still have heart attacks. And for example, with stroke patients, right, we'll put them on cholesterol medication as secondary prevention. But a lot of them, because there's some underlying issues there, they will just unfortunately come back to the hospital and they'll, because they've had a second stroke, even with all the medical interventions. And that's really what forced me to move into this work. You know, I got kind of tired of treating just the end result, and I want to help people upstream, right? Before the trauma in their chest becomes a blockage in their artery.
How true. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Mo Sharif. He's a longevity and concierge physician, and he's known as the Energy Doc on Instagram, on TikTok. And I think it's so wonderful to know that not only is he a hospitalist and an internist, but he understands that sometimes medicines can't fix everything. And you know, doctor, I have to say, when my mom got sick in Trinidad and Tobago, my sister called and said my mom was in a private nursing home, and she's 80 years old, and one of our siblings were talking about putting in a feeding tube and all this stuff. And I flew down there. It cost me so much money for a flight, you know, within the same day. But when I went there and I saw my mom, I spoke to the physician and I said, listen, she's at the end of life. Let her have what she wants to eat. Let her do what she wants. She has dementia. But I don't think she would want a feeding tube. She was a lady who loved her curry chicken and her rice and her dal. But she also liked Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I went and I bought some Kentucky Fried Chicken and I brought it back for her. When the doctor walked in the room and he saw her sitting there just enjoying that chicken, sitting up straight, he said, it looks like a different lady. But I think I made an emotional connection to her childhood and her youth. It wasn't about medicine. It was about love and it was about caring. And that was after a few months she passed away. But my sisters and brothers always talked about that day. So I think it's good to have a doctor that puts himself in that place where it's not always the Lasix and the Zyprexia and the Namenda and the IVs and the Rocephin and the labs and the UTI and... It's love, it's caring, it's understanding where this person who's in that bed is coming from.
Oh, exactly. That's such a powerful story, and you're absolutely right. It's not the feeding tube that brings someone back to life. It's a lot of times it's presence, right? Dignity and being seen as a whole person, not just as another patient. And unfortunately, medicine does often miss this.
And yeah. And you say, Sita, all the time that's one of the beautiful, you know, we're all going to exit this world, right?
Well, we're but born that was to die, the, right?
Right.
It's just a dash.
But the stories that you tell me about hospice really are so peaceful about just those simple things that you're taking off the medicine. And it's like people have this like new lease on life, like for that little brief amount of time, because we're not talking medicine anymore. We're talking cultural understanding, and we're talking love, and we're talking compassion for all of those things. And that story about your mom was one of my favorites, by the way.
Yeah. So thank you. So Dr. Sharif, you know, you talk about on your website, we talked about advanced biometrics, and we were all eager to hear a little bit about that. That's something you do. You analyze your patients, and that's something that you do. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Of course. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times in medicine, we're taught to just look at labs, right? And we do that because it does give us objective data. And I wanted that for my clients as well, because my work, a lot of times it's going to be virtual. So what I wanted to use was the Oura Ring, because that lets my clients actually see what's happening in their body, right? They're not just guessing. So we're able to track their sleep, their heart rate variability. That lets us know how stressed out someone is, and even recovery. So we know, and we have real data to work with. You know, heart rate variability, for example, it's one of the best indicators of nervous system health. So when the HRV is low, it means that your body is stuck in stress mode. And when it's high, that's when your system is more flexible and more resilient. So you'll notice that if it's low, people are more likely to get the cold, the flu. And when it's high, they bounce back faster, even if they were ill, you know, a week ago or whatever it may be. So, and a lot of my clients, you know, they were thinking that, oh, they're fine because they're functioning. But the Oura Ring, it really shows you the truth. It shows you if you're sleeping properly, if your body's not recovering, or even if your stress is higher than you realize. A lot of us, you know, we're kind of in denial. And so it gives us objective data. And that's one of my favorite markers, the HRV.
Well, you know,
when you can literally see it improve, it just, your sleep gets better, your body comes back, you know, and it's really motivating.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad that you do coaching one-on-one and help people with their habits and personal growth because you build so much confidence in them, right? But the thing is, when a person goes to bed at night, especially in these trying times, people are thinking about, can I make my mortgage? Do I have health insurance? Will my health insurance premium go up? I'm already sick. Do I have money for my co-payments? Then they talk about daycare. My daughter is an attorney. She can afford to pay $400 a week for her daycare for her child, but a lot of people can't. Then people have to worry, my car, tires need changing. I need an oil change. They talk about, you know, I have things wrong with my home. I may have to redo a bathroom. I have leaking faucets. Little things people go to bed at night and it makes their life miserable. So the next day they wake up and they don't feel well. They have to call in sick. Their energy at work is low performance. And you, with your coaching and lifestyle medicine and therapy, you help people to overcome not just cultural disappropriation, but you help them to overcome these things in life as well because you're tracking all of that with them. You're able to sit with them and they trust you. So talk to us about a couple of your success stories with people who came with their head hanging and they left soaring like an eagle.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I get that finances are real, right? So another bill when you're already feeling stressed feels impossible. So I also work with people to find a structure that fits their situation, that fits their needs, you know, and so I'll also offer them flexible payment options and that return on investment, because when you're sleeping better, you're showing up better at work, right? And you're not blowing up your relationships. That's the financial value of it. And also now we've been working on building out courses and group options so more people can have access to the tools and start their healing journey at a lower price point. And then, you know, with my clients, it's so motivating even for myself to see the transformation, because that's what I want to see. I don't want it to be surface level healing. I want it to be an actual new identity that's healthier and happier. So, you know, I've had clients who come to me that will shut down, for example, every time this particular client, every time his wife wanted to talk, you know, so any conflict, he'd go silent or explode. And then that also kind of leads into your work and it seeps into it. So after a few months of work, you know, he's able to have those hard conversations and actually stay present. And, you know, his wife is in shock, but he also just feels more calm, healthier. And then that leads to better relationships with his coworkers. A lot of the other clients that I work with, usually they're eldest daughters, right? So they also spend their whole life managing everyone's emotions, parents, siblings, everyone. And with this person, she didn't even know how she could have her own needs. She didn't know that she was allowed to have her own needs. And now she's setting boundaries and her relationships with her family and people around her have actually improved because she's not over-functioning anymore. I've worked with a few clients that have PCOS and they had never had their testosterone level be in the normal range.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of months, we recheck and it's beautiful to see, you know, and then you also start having a normal menstrual cycle. With one client, it had been years And it was really stressful for her. You know, it was impacting her confidence, a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, you're right. You remind me back home in Trinidad when people got married and, you know, some of the families would be questioning why the bride is not pregnant yet. Well, oftentimes they had to leave their mother and father's home and go to a different village and learn a whole new structure there. And so they were stressed out. There was stuff happening in their bodies. They might be cooking and eating and visiting and getting to know the new in-laws and families, but they were stressed out. So their hormone level was different. And people would say, well, something is wrong with that woman. But as soon as the woman was happy and got used to her surroundings and her environment, voila, she got pregnant, right? So I think what you do, you teach people to shift their thinking and develop coping strategies, doctor. And I love that you also talk to them about weight management, which actually helps with their overall health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, so many women come to me and they're carrying shame because their body isn't doing what everyone else expects. So they get pressure from in-laws, from family, and they feel guilty just on their own. And no one's asking them how they're actually doing emotionally. And people don't understand that stress directly affects fertility. So when your nervous system is constantly in the fight or flight mode, your body is going to prioritize survival, not reproduction. And the cortisol, the stress hormone, that's going to disrupt your other hormones. And it's going to worsen those PCOS symptoms, for example. And that makes conception harder. And there's nothing wrong with these women. Their bodies are doing exactly what stressed bodies do. So the problem isn't her, it's more so the pressure, the anxiety. The in-laws asking every week, right? They'll say, oh, any good news?
Yeah.
And that stress is the issue.
Yes, right? Yes. Especially people who want that grandchild because they know they're going to be leaving the planet and they want to see the babies before they go. But you know, doctor, when I speak to you and I see your videos, you tailor everything so specific. Not only are you a wonderful hospitalist physician and an internist, but you help people with their meal plan. You help them with their exercise routine. And you're extremely patient and problem solving with your patients. So give us your website or how someone could contact you if they would like to have your personalized physician-led services, because you are great. You're just helping so many people and you're different from so many doctors who just look at labs and diagnosis. You're looking at the holistic person.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. And yeah, the goal is to help as many people as possible. So on Instagram, you can find me on as The Energy Doc. So it's THEENERGYDOC16, The Energy Doc 16. And then my website is Noor Concierge, NOORConcierge.com.
Yeah.
And Noor actually means light. And that's why I chose that name, because I kind of want to bring some light into everyone's life, you know, as many people as I can.
Well, you are. I must say you're doing that. And I one quick question. How do you get the aunties and uncles to stop eating roti? Because look, I had my chicken tikka masala yesterday with my rice and my daughter decided she'll get some naan too. And I'm like, you can't have both. I can't have the rice and have the garlic naan, right? But that's a conscious decision that I've made because I like it and I can't eat both carbs. But how do you, because I mean, one of the most wonderful things about the South Asian community, Indian community, all over the world, the diaspora, is in order for us to survive and cope, we have to have get-togethers.
Yeah.
And some of the get-togethers, there's some toxic people and gossiping people. But for the most part, people get together and they listen to Hindi films and they dance and they eat and they drink and all that. But we do eat a lot of oily, greasy foods.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes us happy, though. But it makes us so happy, you know. So how do you tell them when they come to your office that, hey, you got to cut back?
Yeah, so that's a tough one. I'm still working on that. But hey, listen, I love our culture. But we do have to talk about roti and rice, like biryani, at every single meal, right? So the aunties and uncles, they're eating the same way they did back home, but they're not farming fields anymore. They're more so sitting at desks and watching TV. So the goal is to help them understand that it's not about giving up food, right? Our food. It's about balance. So you can still have roti, but just maybe one instead of four. And let's add some vegetables that aren't just swimming in ghee, right? Yeah. The oil. And like you said, a lot of it is nervous system work too. So when you're stressed, you crave the comfort. And for our community, comfort equals carbs.
That's right. That's right.
When we work on regulating the stress. Yeah. So you're not using the food to feel safe.
Well, not just comfort, Doc. It's a sense of belonging. At the end of the day, everybody mm-hmm. wants to be loved and appreciated, and they want to belong somewhere. And I love our culture, too, because we just know how to give people that signal that, hey, we hear you. We feel you, you know? So anyways, well, the phone's ringing off the hook with the second guest. I'm going to have you on again later on to talk a little bit more about diet and exercise, because I think that's the way to go, not just for the Indian community and the Asians, but the entire world. Diet and exercise makes us who we are, because when you feel good and you look good and you eat good, everything falls into place.
Really does. Brings all that good energy.
Exactly. Well, Sita, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Sharif. And we are going to...
If we talked about resonates, you can find me on social media or on my website. And for everyone listening, just remember that, you know, healing is possible. It just takes patience and the courage to get started. But thank you so much for having me. And I really appreciate it.
Well, Dr. Sharif, we had just a great segment with you. And thank you so much for all of your great information that you shared with our listeners. We're going to listen to our sponsors really quickly. And then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are heard worldwide as well as on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. I can't wait to get to our second segment, so tell them really quick
quickly,
how to get online.
1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we share everything for archive and download on all of our social media as well as the website, cwmediainc.com.
Well,
right to it.
Our second segment is our return. I call her one of the guests that I love to have at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, because the other 10 months, we've got to do something about sustainability.
Yes.
And take care of our planet. The author of the ABCs of Money, The Power of 8 Billion, and it's up to us, our good friend, Natalie Pace. Natalie, welcome again. Welcome back to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Talk to us a little bit and remind our listeners of who you are.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It's always a joy to speak with you guys. This is, you know, all about Earth gratitude. So I just want to say that, you know, it's not about, you know, bombarding you with more climate anxiety. It's more to say there's actually a lot of upside to going green. and getting smart, because there's so much misinformation out there that if we really get smart about things, we could actually even save thousands of dollars annually. And particularly since we're all thinking about the holiday season, we can give gifts that our kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives that are also very green.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad you mentioned that, because in addition to everything that you do, you are one of the people that actually 100% care about planet Earth and the good footprint that we all want to leave behind when we leave planet Earth. So now, we were talking in the studio earlier about gift giving for Christmas. And right. So many people want to focus on sustainable giving. I know when I was a little kid, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So my mother would collect the little seeds from the tamarind. And those little seeds, they would put it into a piece of cloth, and then they would stitch the four edges, and it became like a square filled with tamarind seeds. And that was called a bean bag. Or you could put red beans in it, or you could put lentils, or whatever you have, right?
Right.
Of course, in our home, we needed the lentils and the red beans to eat, so we couldn't put that in the little bean bag. But I used to say, when I grow up, I'm going to go to a store and buy real gifts in a nice plastic and wrap it up and put it in a nice holiday bag. And now I'm looking at the world, I'm like, I'd like to see more of those bean bags again, you know?
Well, I will say it was kind of funny, because in preparation for writing my blog, which I do encourage everybody to check out, just go to nataliepace.com/blog. It's the 6 R's of a sustainable holiday. And also you can email me at info@nataliepace.com if you have any difficult finding the blog. But what I did to research it, my son is now 35. And so I just texted him and I said, what was your favorite gift of ever for the holidays, right? And I didn't want to lead him anyway. Of course, I would want to say your most favorite sustainable gift, or you must surely have liked this or that, right? I didn't want to lead him in any way. I just wanted to know what he would remember from his childhood. And of course, he immediately started off with things. He started off with the paintball gun and the gaming devices and all of those. And then, and without any prompting from me, he was like, I really liked our adventures together. And then he said, and also, you know, one of my favorite things was just the time that we spend together. That was literally what he said, not at all what I prompted him to say. And I was hoping that he would say something like that, because, you know, that's what, you know, I wanted to say, you know, I wanted to say in my blog, was that people, even when they're kids, what they really want are time together, right? And one of the years, in fact, and I think this is an important thing to say, because, you know, those of us that do follow the economy, we know that, you know, it's a K-shaped economy. And if you're middle class or lower, you know, you might not have a lot of money to buy great gifts, right? So I think it's really important to realize that one of the best gifts that I remember giving him, and he really liked it. I was like probably 5. It was a time, he might have been closer to 7 or 8. My husband and I had just gotten a divorce, and I honestly just didn't have any extra money for Christmas, right? None. There was not a drop in the coffers. And so what I did is I made up all of these different adventures that we could have. And so each present he opened was a different adventure. One of them was King for a Day, where everything, we would do what he wanted to do. Now, there was certain limitations. We weren't going to eat candy all day long. Like, it couldn't be something that was bad for us, right?
Yes.
But, you know, and he didn't, in all fairness, he didn't remember that one when he was texting it back to me. But I do remember him loving it at the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, in preparation for the show, I was thinking about what happens at Christmas time, and I am beginning to get a little bit weary of this myself, because of course I hang around with people like my co-host Ellen O'Neill, who is also a minimalist in some ways. But the thing is, the gift given, it creates a massive wave of waste every year.
Yeah.
With the broken toys, the plastic packaging. And, you know, and everyone wants the gift wrapped in tissue paper before you stick it in the gift bag. And so you get to a point where at some point you say, my God, this is getting to be a little too much, not just for us, but for the universe. And I think you're absolutely correct about gift giving. I mean, some people can go through their own kitchen and they can find eco-friendly gifts at home that they didn't use. And they could actually give that to a daughter or daughter-in-law, some say, Merry Christmas. But you know what? There's such a stigma attached if the tag is not on it, if it's not wrapped in a bag. How do we get people to get away from that? And, hey, if somebody gave me something and I could use it, I will use it. I don't really care if it has a tag on it or not, because I come from a place where hand-me-downs were a Christmas present at one point, a used bra, a used dress, shoes. I was grateful for it. Little did I know we was helping with sustainability back then, but that's how we were raised.
Right. And it was probably based out of need. And honestly, there are so many people that need to do this year. So let's give them a free license. And it reminds me of something which I also wanted to mention. This is another gift that my son mentioned by himself, no prompting from me. He said, I really love the year that you and your father gave me my Western belt. And what had happened is my father had, he's a rock hound. So he likes looking for these really interesting rocks. He was also a lapidarist, right? And so he would polish the rocks and then he would make this great belt buckle. It probably was a belt he already had, so it was a reusable thing. And that gift is something that my son, he wears it all the time. All of his friends are definitely wanted that gift. And you know what? They will never be able to get it because who has a lapidariist in the family, right? So I want to remind everybody that your time, your talent, like one of the gifts that I'm going to be giving to everybody this year, I love to cook. And I take, like I'll go online and I'll look for, you know, really like Michelin worthy types of things. And then I adapt it for myself to make it easy and also very tasty, right? So I have this great recipe book of all the, I call it comfort food. And, you know, for all of my friends that and family members, you know, these are great recipes that are really, really top notch, but also made easy. So that's going to be one of my gifts. And then I do it PDF. And it makes it easy for everybody these days. And also there's no extra packaging involved. I do want to give one more real quick plug, if I may.
Yeah.
One thing that I do also for everybody that follows me is that December 21st through the 25th, I offer a couple of my eBooks for free. So go to nataliepace.com. And if you do want the ABCs of money, or The Power of 8 Billion, It's Up to Us, as an ebook, if you're in the U.S., it's going to be absolutely free for December 21st through the 25th. Also, you can let your friends know. This is a great stocking stuffer. So again, don't let, whether it's need-based that you just don't have the money, or it's based on the idea that we have too much stuff. And honestly, anybody who has kids, every holiday, every birthday, you're like, these are just too many toys. Like the kid is overwhelmed. They don't even get to half of them, right? They pick the one or two toy that they really love.
Or they play with the box.
Yeah, or like Ellen says, they play with the box. But, you know, as I was talking to a lady at the gym and she said, you know, one of the things about sustainability and Christmas and shopping and the mad rush for the Black Friday sales, and if you have a 60-inch TV, you're going to upgrade to a 75 or 85, and when you could see the show the same way, you know. But, you know, she was saying, like, you should look for things with organic cotton, bamboo, pork, recycled materials, and other biodegradable and renewable materials. And it brought me to a place where one of the guys that worked in our yard, he gave us something once for Christmas, and at first, I had to do like a double take. I'm like, what is this for? I mean, so what he did, he took a bunch of corks, you know, when you open wine and you have those corks, and he put, I think, like 50 or 60 of them on like a piece of wood and put them all there together. And then he painted it on the sides. And it's something that you could use like a pot holder to put a pot on it. And at first, I was like, what does he think I'm going to do with this thing? Because I was like, oh, my God.
Right.
And my daughter's like, I got one too. And then I realized what a wonderful gift it was, because we do use it, and we've been using it for 10 years.
And you'll think about that person every time.
And he made it, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
And I like that you said the gift of time. I enjoy cooking my favorite curry chicken, and I throw a party once a year for the people who are near and dear to us to come to our home and eat and drink and enjoy the Persian culture, the Indian culture, the Caribbean culture, the American culture, and I invite my friends. But my husband said to me this morning, he said, I'm going to tell all your friends that you bought your paper plates from Amazon and you're not being a very good person of the earth. And I said, you're going to tell my friends? And he said, yeah. He said, because that trash can was filled with those plates and I felt so bad. And I said, oh. Right. I said, but what was I supposed to do? Give them leaf to eat on, like Trinidad for Indian wedding? And he said, no, hire somebody to wash dishes and get more plates.
Exactly. Oops. Exactly.
And but you know we know better, we do better.
That's right.
Exactly. And I think that that's what I wanted to say to people, is that, you know, we say, oh, let's do this and this will be recyclable. That is a freaking lie. Only 5% of plastic gets recycled in the United States. And with regard to paper plates, even though paper plates might technically be compostable or recyclable, there is no excuse for single use. That is so labor intensive. That is so hard on the environment to chop down trees. And by the way, that even extends to our toilet paper. But, you know, obviously we're not giving toilet paper for gifts. But, you know, we really need to be more informed, because recycle is a lie. And that's why I think it's important that people understand that that's something that's kind of pushed by the plastic industry, which, by the way, is just the oil industry. And polyester is plastic. It's also an oil product. It's really a terrible idea for us to put plastic all over our bodies, all over our food, eat on it, all of this stuff. It is not healthy. And
our septic tanks.
You guys all know about that.
And I think about the shampoo, the conditioner, the creams that we put on our skin, the ointments.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my God, my poor septic tank is probably saying, Lord, help us, it's all grease. But, you know, by switching to sustainable holiday gift ideas, things like reusable kitchen utensils, eco-friendly home gifts, I heard a friend of mine said, she said, you know, I'm really good at doing facials, massages, and painting toes. And I'm going to give all my friends a massage for Christmas. And I'm going to come to their house and paint their toes. And I thought, what a wonderful
friend.
I know. What? So, and you know what?
Give me your number.
Yeah. And she called it a beauty swap. She said it's called a beauty swap. And I'm like, that is such a good idea, because I remember when I was little, you know, we would have people in our village that their whole year they would be raising a few chickens. And then if you go to their home for Christmas, they would cook a little curry chicken and dal and rice for you. But they didn't have any gifts for you. What they gave you was that chicken, that rice, and they sat with you and enjoyed that 2 hours of a meal. And then we were greedy people, because we didn't have a lot of money for chicken. We'd go to somebody else's house and get some more chicken. or vegetarians would get potatoes. But when I think back, the time that we spent in the car, house hopping, village hopping, I remember sitting like 10 of us in one car, in and out, people by the feet, people sitting atop each other. But we had that time in the car with our siblings that we can't get back.
Yeah, I, you know me, I'm not a big fan of single, although you didn't have single occupancy car vehicle there. You had 10 people crammed into a car.
Well, it was 18 kids.
It's a circus car.
Yeah, because we had 18 siblings, and at any given time, a few were married off. But my father would say, everybody, bail in, bail out. And I mean, I always got the worst spot. I always had to sit by somebody's feet.
Yeah. Well, I am going to do a big plug for everybody, you know, thinking about even sustainability in that way. Like I, for instance, you know, the last big trip that my son and I took together, because both of us are into sustainability, we took a train And honestly, that experience was so much more enjoyable than having somebody who had to drive the vehicle, because you can be fully present on the train. And oftentimes you're also going to have very interesting landscape to watch, or, you know, ride a bike somewhere or take a long walk. And again, don't underestimate just how important and valuable that time is, right? I will say one thing. One year I had, we always have with my son, we would say, okay, this is the amount that we're going to spend on one another for our holiday, but let's spend that same amount on a family in need. And one year, it was one of our cousins, and they were going to move the whole family. They lived in California their whole life. They had 5 kids, and they were going to move to Utah. And we were like, oh my God, they've never been to Disneyland, because they couldn't afford it. So our gift was, let's take them to Disneyland. And we went together. So we all had a day at Disneyland with this other family. So again, I'm just saying there, you know, that gift is probably one that all of those children remember.
Well, you know, people can organize a beach cleanup on Christmas Day. They can walk your neighborhood and pick up trash. But I think it's a time you spend giggling and walking and talking.
I think that's a good idea. I think not a good idea. Like, right? Like, let's make sure that we're still making it only fun.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Do a beach cleanup on Boxing Day.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
don't
yeah.
Do it on Christmas.
One of my favorite sustainable gifts is a lot of people will bring me cut flowers, and I always say, bring me a plant. Like, don't
yes.
cut the flowers. So. I have a gift from Allie that I have, and I have an actual garden now with all of the plant gifts that my friends have given me. And I know now, like, when we walk up to the front, I'm like, oh, Allie gave me that, and Susie gave me that, and, you know, so, and
the
now they're flourishing and beautiful, right?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, what I give for Christmas, because, you know, I'm Hindu, and I have a lot of nurse friends who are Christian. And I have I give them the gift of volunteering to work every Christmas and every Christmas Eve, because I have a lot of friends that want to go to church, or they want to spend time with their loved ones. And I love Jesus, because I believe, like every other deity of mine, he's near and dear to my heart. And I know it's the season of giving. But I feel like there are certain people that only make it to church on Christmas and Easter. And if I work with someone who wants to go to church, I will go to work. So I've worked in the United States as a long-term care nurse for over 35 years, and I probably only spent 5 years of that with my own five Christmases with my own kids, because I worked 30 years on Christmas Day, which I will be doing again. But really quick, I want our listeners to know that a lot of us are stuck in that place where we have a list, and we make that list, and we fill out the gift bags, and we put trendy gadgets, and we put beauty sets and socks and shoes and gift cards. But by January, it's all forgotten. And there's the waste in the landfills, right? So you ended for us with the last minute. Tell us, how do we get our country, the world citizens, to move away from that list and that check mark and go to a place where time is the most valuable thing in our world?
Well, I think that's what we all have to realize, is that, you know, whatever, whether we're parents or teens or college students, is that we get to be in charge of things that matter. And that can extend to our holidays. So if we are a sustainable, you know, 364 days of the year, we should be sustainable on Christmas Day or whatever winter holiday that you celebrate. Now, you could rent instead of, and I like the plant idea that you guys were talking about, don't chop down a tree and stick it in your living room. Rent a living tree and give it. There are many different nurseries now where you just rent the tree, they take it back, and they plant it in the forest. So there are, you set up your own holiday tradition. You can say maybe one gift. There might be one gift, one thing that you really would love to have, right? But you don't need 12 things. You don't even need 5 things. And the rest of it, have it be that way. If the whole family says, hey, one gift, we're going to do a white elephant thing, and then the rest of it, if you want to give something to somebody, it's going to be time or talent or something, a DIY, or, you know, go through those 6 R's, you know, refuse plastic, rethink the holiday. What can you repair? Could you repair something for somebody? How can you reduce the waste? I'm glad, like your husband, more paper plates.
We are down to 30 seconds and getting shut off here. We loved all of these great ideas, and thank you so much again for giving us the value of your time and the value of this great information. And we'll remind everybody that your ebook is downloadable for free the week of the 21st, and we can't wait to get that as well.